Hey, this is Steve, and this podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus in whatever you're going through today. As we begin to unwrap the spiritual gifts, we'll discover that wisdom and knowledge are the first two gifts listed by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, the passage we're studying. How do you know if you have these gifts? What do they look like, and how do they work out in your life? How do you know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit is using your gifts? We'll answer all of these questions in today's message. I hope it's a blessing to you. We are talking about this because it's a vital part of our lives. In fact, God has told us in the book of 1 Corinthians through the Apostle Paul this in 1 Corinthians 12:1. He says, when it comes to spiritual gifts, I don't want you to misunderstand this. I don't want you to misunderstand this. I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. Your spiritual gifts are vitally important in your walk with Christ because your spiritual gift is the personal in your personal relationship with Christ. Think about that for a second. It's the way that God expresses his love to you uniquely in a way that he doesn't express love to me. And by giving you that gift and by you leveraging that gift, he gives you the ability to express love back to him in a way that I never could. It's the personal in your personal relationship with Jesus. I had a friend of mine who goes to church here from time to time, and he came up to me one Sunday after a church service. And he asked me the question. He said, hey, so I hear you and other people talking about, you know, hearing from God and knowing the will of God in your life. He's like, I don't really get that. Am I missing something there? Does God really speak into your life? And I said, heck yeah, he does. Sure he does. He absolutely does. And one of the best ways to tune in to the voice of God is to be able to leverage your spiritual gift, because this is a very personal, very acute way that God speaks into your life and into my life. It's really important. That's why God wants us to get this, is so that we'll understand our relationship with him better. We also know that it says right here in 1 Corinthians 12:6 that God works in different ways, but it's the same God who works in all of us. It's the same God. So while he may work one way through me in a different way through you, while he may speak to me one way and speak a little bit differently to you, it's the same God. And he says the same things and he does the same things, right? I mean, I was in India last November, and I got to spend some time there with those people. And what an amazing trip that was. And to be able to be with Christians in a whole other culture, with a whole other language, around on the other side of the planet, and to hear him say some of the same things, to read from the same verses, to teach some of the same principles that we teach. What a blessing that was. It's the same God, right, in India as he is here with us. It's different ways that he communicates through us, but it's the same God. We define spiritual gifts like this. The spiritual gift is the supernatural empowerment to do ministry like Jesus. The spiritual gift is a supernatural empowerment to do ministry like Jesus. It's the way that you've been given the miraculous in your life. When you engage with your gift, you're engaging with the miraculous. It's a hugely powerful thing in your life. And we see in 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Our spiritual gifts are given so we can share them. They're not to be put on a shelf. They're not to be hogged to ourselves. Our gifts are given for others, for the common good, another translation says. So our gifts are given to be re-given, to be given away to other people. Our spiritual gifts are there, next blank on your page, to produce fruit. Our spiritual gifts are given to produce fruit. In other words, we are to use and to leverage our gifts so that God will work through us into the lives of other people. Yeah, so today, since we've already kind of looked at all that stuff over the last couple of weeks, today what I want to do is to start unwrapping the individual gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians. So we're going to start just kind of going through and looking at each one, and I'll just kind of talk a little bit about what each gift really is. And we'll start in 1 Corinthians 12:8 with this. He says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, and to another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. So here we have wisdom, wise advice, and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge, both of these two things. We see these two things working a lot together in Scripture, but they're clearly defined as two different things. Even though they may sound like and seem like the same thing, it's two different gifts. And we're going to look at those today. Now, in the future, the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at all the gifts that are listed here. So we'll be talking about the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, gifts of healing and of prophecy and of tongues, right? I'm looking forward to those last two. There's two different kinds of prophecy. I'm looking forward to talking about those. There's two different kinds of tongues. I'm looking forward to talking about those. Those are going to be good. But today, we're going to talk about wisdom and knowledge. I hope you took your spiritual gifts test. Our results are showing so far that in our group, you can see my handy dandy little chart here, about 15% of us said that wisdom, decided that wisdom was in our top four gifts. And about 18% of us indicated that knowledge was part of our top four gifts. I really think after looking at our spiritual gift makeup as a church, we're a pretty well-rounded church. We're high in some, low in others, but overall, there's not a big wide gap between the two, the high and the low. We're a pretty well-rounded church, as you'd expect God to build. So what is this? What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? What are we talking about here? I want to start off with knowledge. And I want to describe that a little bit so that you can understand. And I've left a kind of a big blank on your page so that you can just jot notes as I'm kind of going through all of this. The definition of the gift of knowledge is the awareness of truth, facts, and information. Knowledge is awareness of truth, facts, and information. You've got all the information down. This is kind of the geek gift, right? You love to know everything about everything. You like to know all the details, all the ins and outs, all the ramifications. You love to have all of the knowledge. You love information. You're an information freak, right? You're kind of an information junkie. You love books and websites and more books. You love to learn and to study. You love to throw yourself in and immerse yourself in learning. So when you're done with books, you get more books. You're all about the books. You, the people with the gift of knowledge, you have a personal relationship with the Amazon delivery guy, right? Because he comes to your house and brings joy into your life because he brings more books into your life. And you love that. You love the whole book thing. You're all about the books. Somebody says, I've got the gift of knowledge and tomorrow I've got the day off, so I'm going to spend my day studying. And the rest of us go, you're going to do what? You're going to study? Why would you do that? Get outside. It's May. You should be outside. No, no, no. I'm going to read. I'm going to study. I got more to learn. I'm talking about this gift of knowledge today. And my good friend, I don't want to call anyone's name who might have this gift right now, but my good friend Susan Farnham came to me. And she did not know I was having this topic today. She just dropped me off this book by Wayne Grudem. If you're a person with the gift of knowledge, you probably know who Wayne Grudem is. He's the systematic theology king. He has a great systematic theology book and course that he teaches. He is amazing. He's got a lot of books. He is amazing. This book right here is a great book on prophecy, and the table of contents is 5 pages long. Yes, yes. The people with the gift of knowledge are like, oh, it's more books. It's more stuff for me to learn. They look through, and the people with the gift of knowledge, they know. They know that there's a difference between the paragraphs in the top of the page and the paragraphs, the little paragraphs at the bottom of the page. The ones, you know, that are in the smaller font, you know, that are hard to see, those are called footnotes. Right? If you have the gift of knowledge, you love the footnotes. You know, more knowledge, more information for me. I love that. And the rest of us are like, oh, that's what that is. That's a footnote? I don't even know what that's for. I just skip over that part, you know? And then the people with the gift of knowledge, they love the back of the book because the back of the book has appendices. And so there's more information there. And then there's bibliographies. You mean there's more books on this topic? I can buy more books. And so we get very excited about the books. You know, we're all geeking out about the books. That's what we love. We love the gift of knowledge. For the rest of us, this is our personal hell. Am I right? Yeah, I mean, somebody gives us a book like this, and we're like, there are no pictures in here. What do I do with this? I have the gift of hospitality. I like to make people big. Let's eat together, you know? So we get kind of caught up in our own gifts, but the gift of knowledge is all about immersing yourself into that whole thing. You might want to write this down. The people with the gift of knowledge are the ones that love the Lord their God with all their mind. They love the Lord their God with all their mind. And this gift really reflects Jesus. You know, all of our gifts reflect Jesus, but this one reflects him in a very particular way because we know that Jesus was a person of knowledge. He was a rabbi. He was an Old Testament teacher. He had all kinds of knowledge. He'd committed great passages of scripture to memory. So when you read through the teachings of Jesus and the things that he says, you find these passages where he's just quoting scripture, big portions of scripture. And he's pointing back to that. He's all about the knowledge. He loved the scripture. And if you have this gift, you'll love the scripture. The dark side of this gift is it can be manipulated, right? It can be manipulated easily to where you think that your knowledge is all about knowledge. Remember last week we talked about people who chase the experience. It's all about the experience. And we talked about people that chase the theology. It's all about the theology. Really, really easy for the people with this gift to get into this side and say it's all about knowledge. I got to know everything I got to know because you got to be right about what you know, right? And all about that stuff so you can accumulate the knowledge and then miss what the knowledge is all about. Jesus addressed this with the Pharisees. Because they were very knowledgeable people, but when the point of all the knowledge was standing in front of them, they missed him, right? He says to them in John 5:39, he says to the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me." Eternal life isn't in the scriptures, it's in me. And the scripture just points you to me, but they missed it. The whole point of the study, the whole point of knowledge is Jesus. Colossians 2:3 says, "In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." It's Jesus that we seek after. So if you are a person who thinks that you might have this particular gift, I would encourage you to do a character study on maybe people in the Bible like Ezra or Timothy or Solomon, because these are people who had a lot of knowledge and understood knowledge and the gaining of knowledge. I would encourage you to do a character study. Jot those names down. Do a character study on those guys. See how they got their knowledge. See what they did with their knowledge. See how God worked in them in their lives. So to ask a couple of questions, do I have this gift? I'm not sure if I have this gift or not. Well, can you retain, compile, and access and articulate information quickly when you need to? Do you like talking about theological things? Do people approach you and ask what's the difference between, you know, transubstantiation and consubstantiation? You have the answer and you're ready to go on that. When they want to know what the Greek text really says, are you eager to respond with that? You know, do you have that kind of ability and do you like that kind of ability? Well, maybe that's your gift. When you're around other people in your life group and they come to a passage in scripture they're reading and they're like, this doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know what this means. What is this really saying? And then everybody in the room gets really quiet and their heads turn and they look at you. You're like, well, here's what it means. Da, 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 da. Got it all laid out for you. There it is. And they all go, all right, good, thanks. You know, you might be the person with the gift of knowledge. It's always really good. So that's what knowledge is all about. So mark that down, jot those notes. The next gift I want to talk about is the gift of wisdom. Wisdom is not the same as knowledge. It's a little bit different. The definition of the gift of wisdom is this. Wisdom is understanding how to use truth, facts, and information. It's understanding how to use. Knowledge is having truth, facts, and information. Wisdom is knowing how to use truth, facts, and information. So these are people that have insights into their lives and other people's lives based on the truth of God's word and can take God's word and apply it into our lives, can help give us guidance about what to do next. You know, they're the people where, you know, you got stuff going on in your life you don't know how to deal with, you don't know what to do. They're the ones that'll come alongside of you and say, well, have you read this part of scripture? Have you prayed about it? Have you tried this? Let's put a plan in place. What are the goals in your life? Let's write them down. Let's make a plan. Let's get you there. Let's get you to where you need to be. These are the people with wisdom that you want in your life. They have the ability to see and apply principles of God's word easily. You guys know the difference between knowledge and wisdom, right? Because you've experienced it a little bit yourself. A lot of us have the story of when we were 18 or 20 years old, right? And we got a little bit of knowledge, we got a little bit of freedom, we got a little bit of ability, and then we really messed everything up. Right? We made some decisions in our lives at a young age that created baggage that we had to carry around in our lives for a while. And that's because we had some knowledge, but we didn't have wisdom. Right? And so we made some really, really bad choices and broke a lot of stuff in our lives. The people with wisdom are the ones who are driven crazy by this. Folly and mistakes, bad choices and baggage, they just grate on the person with wisdom. Because they can look and they can see the path that you're on, and they can tell you what path to get on. And they can tell you how to get there. They're the ones that when they see you and me living with the bad results of bad decisions in our lives, it just drives them nutso. You know, she married him. You gotta be kidding me. What do you mean she married him? That guy's a complete loser. He's going nowhere in life. And she, what was she thinking? Why didn't she talk to me first, right? That's the person of wisdom, and we need those people in our lives. We need the people of knowledge in our lives, but we also need the people of wisdom in our lives because they help us to find the right path to be on. Now, all of us are called to become people of wisdom. The Bible is full of challenges for us to become people who are wise. In Proverbs 1:23, wisdom itself calls out to us and says, "Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise." And of course, James tells us, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. So all of us are told to pursue wisdom, but some of us are truly gifted in this super practical gift. We have the ability to take apart a scenario in our lives and really apply truth to it and see our lives change course. They're the people who make great life coaches, great counselors, great advisors when we don't know what's going on. Your marriage is a wreck. You know, and you go to them and say, I don't know what to do, how to correct this. It's a disaster. And they're ones that can say, okay, well, what does God's word say? You know, have you tried this? Let's come up with some principles to implement in your life that could change the outcome of what's going on in your life and turn your miserable marriage into a happy marriage. And you'll go, how do you know how to do all that? That's them exercising their gift right in front of you. It's an amazing thing. They're the people that really, the ones that really have a high volume of this gift. You can bring them into your business, you know, and they can look across everything and they can look at your budget and look at your employees and look at your purpose and look at your systems, and they can change everything around and set you on track to get you to your business goals because they just have that kind of ability, wise ability to get you going in the right direction. That's what the gift of wisdom is all about. It's a super practical gift. So they're the ones that sit in your life group and not only can tell you what the scripture verse is about, but they're the ones that say, okay, here's what it's about and here's how it works out in your life. You know, I was sitting with a friend the other day, we were talking about the scripture verse that says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you, right? And we know that verse. We love that verse. That's great. But the wise person says, okay, what does it mean to seek Christ in your marriage? What does it mean to seek Christ in your job? What does it mean to seek Christ in your family life? Are you really seeking him in the way you raise your children? What does that look like? And to begin to put things in place, that's what that gift of wisdom really looks like. So these people love to be able to implement God's word in your life and apply it, but they can't stand when they see you living the consequences of bad decisions. Yeah, so the person with knowledge has the information. The person with wisdom is the one who can very well apply the information. Our church really needs people of wisdom, right? Because so many of us are so quick to make bad choices and make a mess of our lives. I mean, a lot of us, it wasn't something that just happened when we were 18 or 20 or 22. A lot of us have long patterns of breaking things. You know, we have broken marriage after broken marriage, we have broken relationship after broken relationship, broken job situation after broken job situation. And we need people of wisdom to come alongside us and to encourage us and to love us and to pour into us. This gift reflects Jesus also, because Jesus wasn't just knowledgeable, he was wise. Right? Gospel writer Luke, in describing the young Jesus, he describes him this way in Luke 2:40. He says that Jesus was filled with wisdom and God's favor was on him. Right after this, you know the story of Jesus and his family going, traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem for the big feast, you know, the big festival. And they go there, they spend a little time there in Jerusalem, and they're leaving, and Mary and Joseph head on out, and all the, you know, whoever was traveling with them, I guess, and they're traveling back towards home, towards Galilee. And 2 days later, they realize that their 12-year-old son, Jesus, is not with them. Way to go, parenting skills, Mary and Joseph. Probably could have used somebody with wisdom to come alongside of you on that. Can you imagine what would happen today if you go for 2 days just not even realizing, you don't know where your kid is? Oh, he's probably back in town where we left him. So they go running back to Jerusalem and they look everywhere for him. And then in Luke 2:46, it says 3 days later, they finally discovered Jesus in the temple. He's 12 years old and he's sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and at his answers. Jesus was wise even at 12 years old. And he was able to take care of himself for 2 days without his mom and dad at 12 years old. Don't know that we've built that into our 12-year-olds so well today. In Luke 2:52, a little later, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with all the people. Years later, Jesus's ministry is going on. And as he's conducting his ministry, one of the things he does is he goes back home to his hometown and he begins to conduct his ministry there also. And the people responded to him in Mark 6:2, where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to him? Yeah, so they were shocked by his wisdom. Jesus was wise. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. So this particular gift doesn't just reflect the personality and the spiritual gifting of Jesus. It reflects Jesus himself. This gift is Jesus himself. When we're pursuing wisdom, we're pursuing Jesus. He is wisdom for us. So if you're going to do a character study to find out how this gift works out in biblical characters' lives, I would encourage you to look up Joshua. He's the one that took over after Moses passed away and led the people right on into the promised land. Or Daniel, you know, Daniel had that incredibly wise thing. He and those other young boys were taken to Babylon in captivity. And over there, they said, you got to learn the language, you got to learn the culture, and you got to eat our food. And those guys said, hey, I tell you what, we'll learn all we can. But we'd rather stick to the dietary laws that God has given us. So let us stick by that, and some incredible wisdom there in that person's life. And then, of course, the wisdom of Solomon is unparalleled in Scripture. I would encourage you to look those guys up and to see how God used wisdom in their lives. If you were here in January, I did a message series called The Path. Great message series, all about wisdom, gaining wisdom, using wisdom, and being on the right path out of Proverbs. I would encourage you to use your podcast app and go back to that January series called The Path and listen through that. If you are a person who has a spiritual gift of wisdom, likes wisdom, that will spark with you and you'll really like that a lot. So, use your gifts for the Spirit. Use your gifts, whether it's wisdom or whether it's knowledge or whatever it is. We use our gifts in the Spirit and for the fruit that it gives. Now, last week I did a talk about the Spirit and how the Spirit works in your life. And I know I talked to some of you guys and some of y'all are still a little apprehensive about it. You're like, yeah, I hear you. I agree with what you say on that, but I don't know that I have the Spirit in my life. I know you say I have the Spirit in my life, but I don't know. I don't see it. I don't know how to work it. So how do I know if I'm giving, if I'm serving, if I'm leading, if I'm acting in the Spirit? And I would say, well, let me just ask you a question. Quick little test. Have you gone back there and signed your name on one of those blanks in the back? Because we talked about, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how the spiritually mature response is to see a need and meet a need. That's what the spiritually mature person, that's what the spirit-filled person does. They don't walk away from an apparent need. They meet that need. Have you gone back there and have you signed your name on one of those sheets? I'll tell you, I know some of you have, and I want to say thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being willing to sign up. Thank you for being willing to serve, to be willing to give yourself away for an hour or for a day or for a week or whatever you signed up for. Thank you for that. But I want to encourage you, if you signed up out of obligation, if you signed up because the pastor said you're supposed to, or because it's summertime and that's just kind of what we do, and if you did so because you think you're supposed to, I want to say, good job. We want to practice the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and sometimes that requires a little discipline on our part. Sometimes we got to step out in faith even when we don't feel like it. So way to go. But I want to challenge you that the Holy Spirit never calls us to serve out of obligation. The Spirit calls us to serve out of awe of Him, right? We, operating in the Spirit, operate in a state of awe of who God is and what He's done in us and for us. We see how good our God really is. Because we knew that our life was kind of represented by those blanks back there in the blank. My life was a spiritual blank. I had no spiritual life at all. I had no life. I was deaf because I was a sinner, right? And God is life. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's life, but I was dead in sin, Ephesians tells me. I had no relationship with Him at all and no hope for Him because I had committed these sins that separated me from God. And in that separation, I was broken and twisted and hideous because of what I had done to myself. Spiritual blank. And not only that, but my sin put me under the death penalty. It made me a criminal, a treasonous criminal against a holy God, and the wages of sin is death. So I was this broken, twisted, hideous, dead, under the death penalty, guilty criminal who deserved nothing but harsh judgment from God. But our God is a good God, is He not? He is so good that He saw that in me and He loved me. He saw that twisted, broken hideousness, and He still got right up in my face and said, I love you. And He loved me so much that He sent His Son, Jesus. And I had these crimes that I had to pay for with my life. Well, guess what He did? Jesus had no crimes of His own, so He goes to the cross, and on the cross, God took all of my guilt, all of my shame, and He put them onto His Son, Jesus. He blamed Jesus for what I had done, and Jesus willingly took my punishment for me. He died for me. I didn't deserve that. In fact, I had done everything I could to not deserve that. And Jesus died in my place. He died for me. He became death on my behalf, and then He rose again, and now He steps toward my ugly, hideous, twisted brokenness, and He says, let me fill you. Let me take all of that away. Let me turn you into something beautiful. And He lives in me and through me. And this beautiful thing ought to knock me to my knees every single day. It ought to put me in a state of awe of who He is. And I ought to be so grateful that my response to Him is to say, God, You're so good. I don't understand how good You are. I don't even understand all the things that I've done in my life. I don't understand anything, but God, I just know You're good. And I trust You, God, and You call me to become like You. So I will give myself away any way I can. I will give up my life for Your sake because I know that's where I'll find my life. And so when the opportunity to be like Jesus comes along, we run to that. The Spirit-filled person runs to the opportunity to be like Christ. That's what we do.